2 Peter chapter 1, and starting with verse 4, we're going to read down through verse 10, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Praise God. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature. Praise God. Praise God. I want to talk about growing in God. Growing in God. Or maybe I could just say growing in God's nature. God's divine nature. Praise the Lord. It's not enough just to receive the Holy Ghost. It's not enough just to come to church. Amen. It's not just enough to get those simple, basic areas of your life down. Amen. But we must grow in Him, and we must grow in His divine nature. Praise God. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Let's ask for the help of God tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for the truth tonight. We ask you to anoint it. We ask you to speak to our hearts and help us. We give you thanks, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Amen. I believe tonight that we've got an awful lot to look forward to in our walk with God. Scripture tells us here that we have exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. That means a big, big bundle of precious promises. And they are exceeding great, and they are exceeding precious. Amen. God's way is not normal to the world because the ways of God are too high. Amen. It's so high that the flesh cannot, and the flesh does not have the capacity to explain the will of God and the Word of God or to understand it, let alone carry it out and to do it. Amen. The world centers around the flesh, so it is to be expected that the world does not understand us. The world does not understand the things of God. Amen. You can talk to religions, and you can find out which ones are of this world and which ones are not. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The ones that are of this world depend on the flesh. Amen, to live for God. The ones that are of the divine nature depend on the Holy Ghost, upon the Spirit of God. Amen, because really, folks, we can't live for God on our own. We've got to have God to help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And to help us, the Lord gave us the Holy Ghost. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that power of the Holy Ghost is power to be a witness. It is the power to live right, to let your light shine. Well, praise God. That's why we have the Holy Ghost. And through the Holy Ghost, we have the gifts of the Spirit. And through the gifts of the Spirit, we have knowledge. We have understanding. We have discernment. We have miracles. Praise God. We have a lot of things that God gave us in the gifts of the Spirit. And they are supposed to operate in our lives by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we have this Word of God. And knowing this, we can expect to excel the world or to go beyond the world in terms of spirituality. We don't need to go to the world for spirituality, and that is the error of our generation. We're going to the world to try to market the church. Amen. We're going to the world to try to see what is successful and what isn't successful. Amen. We're going to the world's churches, and there are the world's churches. Amen. To see what is the methods that they're using that we can use. I'm telling you today, friend, we need the Holy Ghost more than we need anything, and we need to go back to the simplicity of the Word of God. You say, well, nobody's listening to that old message. Listen, friend, nobody listened to Noah, but Noah and his family were saved. Amen. We've got more than eight here tonight. Thank God for that. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Gain is not godliness, and the things of this world do not represent spiritual things. Amen. They are carnal. They are of this world. They are of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and of the pride of life. Praise God. And so we're going to excel. Amen. We should excel when it comes to love and joy and peace. Amen. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance, and all of those things. We stand out. Amen. And we have so much better things than the world has to offer that when you go to work on the job, they can't understand why you're happy. Amen. They cannot understand why you're different than them. And you've been that way for years and years and years. Amen. And you're not changing and you're not moving. Praise God. It was 1974 when I gave my life to the Lord, and my family thought I was just going through a fad. I was 19 years old and just starting out with God, didn't know anything, and had a great zeal for God and still do have a zeal for God. Amen. They didn't think that I was going to last. They thought it was a passing fad. And some made fun and others criticized, and none of them came to the Lord. But I'm telling you today, when they have a question they need answered, they'll come and ask me. You know why? Because they've seen there's something different now. It's been a long time, and he's still doing it. He's still living for God, still walking in the Lord and trusting in God. Amen. God has exceeding great and precious promises for us. Amen, so that we can and will become the city that is set upon the hill. Amen, that cannot be hid, that cannot be hid. We can't hide this thing. Amen. It's too bright of a light in too dark of a world. Amen. And it just cannot be hid. This divine nature that God has planned for each of us, amen, is spoken here in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1. And he said that we might be partakers of the divine nature. All right, that word divine there in the original means godlike. Godlike, not worldlike, but godlike. Amen. We want to do things the way God wants us to do things. Amen. We want the Lord to be our benchmark, if you please. Amen. That word divine means godlike. And the divine nature, that word nature means growth, or it means growth by germination or expansion. Praise the Lord. Have you been expanding lately? Oh God, I'm not even going to go there tonight. Amen. But nature, amen, the divine nature, and it's talking about growth, amen, or natural production, or growth by germination or expansion. Praise God. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, God has a desire for each and every one of us that we may have a godlike growth in our lives, that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, help the pastor tonight. Amen. I'll tell you where it starts. It starts when we hear the preaching of the Word of God. and the seed is sown in our lives and it begins to germinate. Amen. It begins to expand. It begins to expand in our mind and in our heart and in our spirit. And all of a sudden we get stirred up on the inside. Amen. We get stirred up when we hear a message about the coming of the Lord, and we decide to give our life to God. Something about it just begins to stir over in your heart. You hear the word of God when it comes to baptism or when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And it begins to expand. Don't ever get the feeling that when you share the good news of the gospel with someone, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, don't ever get the idea that it's not making any headway in their life. What you are basically doing is sowing. Amen. A sower went forth to sow. And when you sow the word of God, then the rest is up to God. Amen. And seeds work. Amen. Good seeds work. And what we have tonight is the good seed of the word of God. Amen. It starts out when we are born again. Amen. When that seed that is sown in our hearts, when we hear the preaching of the word of God, when someone talks to us about the word of God, amen, it starts out with that very small germination, and then from there it goes to a full-blown where it breaks the surface and it comes out. And we're born again. That seed has died. Amen. Except a corn of seed, a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it will bring forth much fruit. Amen. It's got to die first. And we die in repentance, and then we are planted in baptism. Well, praise God. I'll prove it to you. Romans 6 and verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We talk about that burial like it's a cemetery, and that is a part of it. But there's more to it. The next verse gives us a little bit more of an understanding here. It says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we are planted. We die in repentance, and then we are planted. But it doesn't stop with the planting. Amen. Some just say all you have to do is repent, and that's all there is to it. Listen, that's why it's a dead religion. Because if all it does is die and that's all there is to it, then it's just a cemetery. Amen. There's no life. It's just death. Amen. It's just remembrance of their name. And that's all there is to it. But there is more to it, friend. Amen. It's not just repentance. And some say that it's just repentance and baptism. And when you repent and you're baptized, you receive the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you tonight, friend, that's not in the Word of God. We must have the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the gospel. Amen. The gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so when something is planted, it begins to grow. Amen. The divine nature begins to produce. The divine nature begins to expand. It begins to grow. Amen. At the very beginning, it doesn't look like anything is happening. And that's the way it always is. I planted a garden one time in the backyard. It was my very first garden. I was very excited about it. And I planted some things in the ground. And I went out every day and I watered it and I checked it. And I looked at it, and it didn't look like anything was happening at all. There was nothing coming up from the surface. A day went by, several days went by, a week went by, a couple of weeks went by, and finally I gave up on it. I said, it doesn't work. Amen. and I went on, did other things, and then finally one day, I don't know how long later it was, I went back there. I know what it was that I planted. It was potatoes. I cut some potatoes up and planted them, amen, and nothing was happening. And then I went out several weeks later after totally forgetting about it altogether, and I was so surprised. These nice straight rows of potatoes were coming up out of the ground, and we got potatoes that year out of my garden. But I had given up on the plan. I had given up on the power of the seed of the Word of God, or on the seed of the potato, and thought it doesn't work. They say it's supposed to work, but it doesn't work. Listen, it starts out very, very small. The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. Amen. Don't look at your life in Christ and say, it's just a small thing. It hasn't become a whole lot yet. Amen. It's the way it's supposed to be. Praise God. When we're planted, we begin to grow. And, of course, that's found in Psalm chapter 1, among other places. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Praise God. We want to just jump right over to the prosper thing. We want to jump right over to the blessing thing. Amen. We want to go from start to finish in one jump, but it doesn't work that way. Amen. You and I were planted in baptism. And we weren't just baptized any old way. We were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise God. That's the only kind of seed that's going to work. Amen. You get baptized any other way, it's just not going to produce any fruit. There's no remission of sins outside of the name of Jesus. Amen. When we're baptized in his name for the remission of sins, amen. In one place in the Bible it says, wash away thy sins. Amen. It means to be blotted out. Praise God. Egypt was remitted off of Israel. The world was remitted off of Noah. Amen. And our sins are remitted off of us when we are planted in the name of Jesus Christ. The old man has died and now has been buried, and there is a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for a brand new life to spring up and begin to grow. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. And it's not growing in a position in the church. Amen. It's not growing, amen, in anything that could be mechanical or programmatic. Amen. But it is growing in the divine nature of God. It is taking on his godlike attributes and saying, that's not the way I am, but that's the way I want to be. And so I'm going to start pushing in that direction. I'm going to start saying no. Come on, somebody, help me tonight. I'm going to say no to some of those things that are not godlike. I'm going to stop looking at those things that are not godlike anymore. Well, praise God. I'm going to stop doing things that are not godlike. Amen. And I'm going to start growing and becoming more and more like him. Praise God. When we're doing it on our own, we always fail. But when we do it with God, we're going to win. Amen. It was a divine baptism. It was a spiritual baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, it was a spiritual planting. Amen. That only is going to produce spiritual things. If you plant a corn seed, you're going to get corn. If you plant wheat, you're going to get wheat. If you plant tomato, you're going to get tomato, potato, everything else. Amen. It will never, you're not going to go out there and plant corn in the ground and all of a sudden you feel more spiritual. Because corn that is planted cannot produce spiritual things. It is an earthly seed. Amen. It is of this world. It is something that it has a very short duration, and it's not going to last very long. In the same way, when we plant in the Spirit, we're not going to reap in the flesh. Amen. When we plant in the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, by the seed of the Word of God, it's not going to produce carnal things. That's why the Bible says that some believe that gain is godliness. Amen. Spiritual things and earthly things don't go together. Amen. God is at enmity with the world, and the world is at enmity with God. And the two are opposed to each other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. Well, praise God. But when we are planted in baptism in the name of Jesus, there is a spiritual seed that is planted, and it is the will of God that it develop into the divine nature. Well, praise God, that it develop into the divine nature, that it begins to produce things in our lives. Amen. When we used to lie, we don't lie anymore. Amen. When we used to steal, we don't steal anymore. Amen. The things that we used to do, we've laid them aside. Amen. Because my baptism was not a baptism that allowed me to continue in sin. Amen. But it was a baptism of grace. Amen. It was a baptism of grace. It was a baptism of the favor of God, and the grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Oh, praise God. It's the will of God. Grace is our teacher. Amen. When we were planted, the seed of the Word of God was designed to change us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Amen. They're dead. They're gone. They are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Praise God. I don't go to the bar room anymore. Well, praise God. I don't go to the dance floor anymore. I'm not going to the parties anymore. Amen. I'll tell you why. Because I've got a brand new life in Jesus Christ. I died and I was planted. And now there is a seed, amen, of eternal life that's beginning to grow in my life. Amen. And when things begin to grow, when they are germinated, and they begin to grow, more and more cells are added, amen, until it comes to maturity. Until it comes to a point of strength to produce fruit, enough strength to reproduce itself. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Soul winning is a very important part of our walk with God. Amen. Touching others and reaching out to others is very important. Amen, because it shows that we are maturing in Him. It shows that we understand why God filled us with the Holy Ghost, why God washed our sins away and gave us a brand new hope. It wasn't just because He wants to pile on us all sorts of great things, and He does. Heaped up, shaken together, and running over. Amen, that's how it is in living for God. He said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Praise God. And I'm telling you tonight, He adds to us so that we can grow. Amen. When a child is growing in its mother's womb, amen, more and more cells are added to this unborn child until the day when somehow or another it decides this is the day and the hour, and it is birthed into this world. Amen. It is the very same thing in a very similar manner. Amen. When we come to God, we hear the Word of God, whether it's in a Bible study or it's the preaching of the Word of God, or if we're reading the Word and it just gets a hold of us and we understand it and God gives us a revelation. It begins to grow, and then finally the day comes when I'm just so miserable I can't take it anymore, and I make up my mind I'm living for God. I'm living for God. Amen. The first time I went to church, I said, I'll never go back there again But a year later, I found myself saying, I want to go back to that church again. I don't know why. I was repelled at the first. I didn't believe it. I didn't want to go back. I thought these folks were crazy. But God just, there was a seed of the Word of God. Amen. And I don't even really remember what the pastor preached that night. I just knew this guy with big old black bushy eyebrows and his forehead stuck out over his eyes. He looked like a mafia boss. Amen. And he was preaching, and I thought, he is preaching at me. I didn't really know what he was saying. I was just looking around and was aghast at all the things that was going on around me. Maybe you felt that way too. But a year later, God got a hold of my heart, and I had a desire to go back to that church. And the very next night I went back, I was baptized. I didn't understand how I was baptized, but I wanted to die. I wanted to go, my life to go away. I wanted a brand new life, and I felt like this was the place to get it. And it was the place to get it. Amen. And finally, the birth takes place. And then after birth, the cells are added and the child begins to grow. Why does God do it so that it's such a slow process? Such a slow process that sometimes you don't even notice the change that's taking place until all of a sudden Gavin walks in and we say, what happened to you this week? You're a foot taller than you were last week. And a growth spurt takes place. Amen. And mom and dad have invested in Kroger stocks. Amen. Because the food bill goes skyrocketing. Amen. And then all of a sudden it starts leveling off. And instead of a high voice, now it's a deeper voice. And as you grow, things change in your life. You begin to perceive things. They understand that you can't teach kindergartners. You can't teach them algebra. You can't teach them addition. It's just, there's a maturity level. And the Bible talks about the milk of the Word of God. That's the simple things of the Word of God. We've got to start there. But it's the will of God that we develop into the divine nature, that there is a godlike growth in our lives until the place where we come to the fullness of maturity. And when we come to the place of fullness of maturity, well, praise God. For the young men, we go out and get a job and start taking care of ourselves. Amen. Well, praise God. I know all you men love to work. Praise God. And if you don't, we're going to help you. Praise God. Because I'm telling you what, friend, that's maturity. Well, praise God. That's maturity. Maturity is sitting here on the pews tonight of some of you younger couples. Amen. And you're going out and you're beating the bushes, so to speak, and bringing home food for the family. Mom and dad both working. You know what that says to me? Over the course of years, it tells me that there is maturity, that there is a level of maturity that has developed, praise God, where it's no longer about me, but it's about others. Amen. Where it's no longer about what I want, but it's about what others want. That's maturity. Well, praise God. That's maturity. And then when we come to the place of maturity, amen, that's when we set those goals for our life. I want to live in this side of town. I want to drive this kind of a car. I want to build up for retirement. Amen. I want to get some things that we haven't had before, and we want to move higher and go farther. That's the natural progression of life. And wherever you're at is where you're at. There's no high and there's no low. It's just where you're at. Start where you are right now and begin to grow in God. Well, praise the Lord. And the day will come that you will discover the will of God for your life. and you'll begin to say, give me that mountain. Amen. Let me have that mountain. Praise God. I want to be a soul winner. I want to do something for God. Amen. It's not about me anymore, but it's about what I can do in the kingdom of God. I want to bless the church. I want to bless the ministry. I want to bless the missionaries. I want to be a blessing wherever I go. Amen. Because it's not about me anymore. It's about the work in the kingdom of God. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Praise God. Praise God. And it all starts by being planted. And then things are added to us until we grow to this place of maturity and to the fullness of the will of God. And Peter wrote of this and saw that it was very important and it was necessary for us. How many of you tonight would like to live your whole life for God without falling away? I want to make it all the way. I don't want to just go a little while and then drop off. Amen. We see that so much. But I'm telling you, there is a way, and it all is about the divine nature. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Wherefore I will not be diligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Amen. I read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 through 10. But after Peter wrote those, he wrote these right here that I just read. And he was now saying that it comes to a place where not only am I going to be a blessing in the kingdom of God, not only am I finding the will of God for my life, but the reality of the matter is this. Peter said, the Lord showed me I'm going to die. We don't think about that when we're young. We don't think about that when we're middle-aged. But when you get older, you start thinking about that. And Peter was thinking about that. And the Lord showed him that he would die a martyr's death, and he did. History records that the apostle here was hung upside down. He was going to be hung right side up, if there is a right side up. And he said, I'm not worthy to die the way the Lord did. I want you to hang me upside down. And they hung him upside down until he expired. And Peter went out as a martyr for Jesus Christ. Well, that's great for Peter, but what about the rest of the church that's left behind? What about his wife and his children that are left behind? What about the church and all of the people that he ministered to and all of those things? What about them? Well, he's admonishing them here, and he's admonishing you and I as well. Amen. Because the day will come, amen, when the leadership will have to put off this tabernacle. Amen. Where we will lay aside this tabernacle. Amen. And things will change. Things will change in the church. Things will change in your family. Amen. When dad's gone, when mom is gone. Amen. And possibly, and God forbid, one of the children would be lost or pass away is what I'm trying to say tonight. And all of a sudden there's a change in your life and we don't hear that voice anymore. And we don't get that ministry anymore. Now all of a sudden something has changed. Well, I want you to know tonight that this divine nature that God wants us to have is a divine nature that will help us through anything that comes along. Amen. Praise God. It will help us with anything that will come along. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter. The Bible talks about all kinds of things that will come against the church. Amen. But this message here... Amen. is a message to us tonight that what we need is the divine nature in our lives. And when we have the divine nature in our lives, we will not fail. We will not fall. We will make it all the way. I've got my mind made up to make it all the way. Praise God. Praise God. And it's this message of the old man that had seen it all. He had seen the glory of God. He was one of those three at the Mount of Transfiguration. He saw the miracles. Amen. And his desire, his greatest desire here, was to get the message into the hearts of everyone that Jesus Christ was Lord of all. Amen. That he could help in every situation. Amen. Even in martyrdom, it didn't matter what would happen. Praise God. He gave us something here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. But if you go back to the text that we read, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, we have these divine promises, precious, exceeding great promises that we will be that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And then he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Everybody said faith. This is what brought you to God. Faith is the beginning. Faith is not the end. Well, praise God. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this here tonight, on these things. But I feel to just go through this. But faith is not the end. Faith is one of the foundational principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us lay aside. And let's move on unto perfection. And so faith is trusting God. Faith is believing God. I believe tonight through my own personal experience and through the experiences of others, amen, that we're not struggling with faith after a while. At first we hear the man of God preach and he says, you got to have faith in God. You need to trust God. Well, how do I do that? Well, they took up an offering one night, and I pledged $50 that I didn't have. Never done that in my life. Didn't have any money. I couldn't rub two nickels together. And I tested this thing of faith. I proved it. I tried it. And within a week, God had given me $100 back. Out of nowhere, that week, it just came to me. And I made my pledge and had another 50 on top of it, and I paid my tithes and gave an offering, amen. And I'm telling you, it boosted my faith, and I said, wow, this really works. Amen. It's sad when we've been coming to the house of God for years and years, and all of a sudden a little thing comes up, and we lose our faith, and we lose our emotions. And we lose it all, and we can say we've been living for God 10 or 15 years. Folks, this ought not to be. We've got to grow in the divine nature of God. And it starts out with faith. Praise God. But after 5 or 10 years of going through this battle and that battle and all of this water under the bridge, and I'm still here and I'm still living for God, and I look around me and I'm blessed more than what I was before. Praise God. We got to establish faith, and it transforms itself from faith into knowledge. Well, praise God. Well, there's the trial of your faith. Those things are going to come along, and they'll blindside you, and it'll be another time that you'll have to recommit and all of that. But when it comes to living for God, amen, I just know he's going to be there. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. That takes a little bit of time. But after a little bit of time, faith turns into knowledge. And the knowledge that God is going to take care of me just rules your heart and your mind. Well, praise God. Do we know that God loves us? Do we know that it's going to be all right? Or do we lose it every time a problem comes up? Don't get quiet tonight. We're stronger than this. Amen. I said we're stronger than this. Amen. There's been a lot of preaching in this church. Amen. There's been a lot of ministry that's come through here. Amen. We're not giving up on it now. Amen. We're not going to be like children that when the thunder rolls, we crawl under the sheets of our bed. Spiritually speaking. Amen. Well, praise God. Oh, we just smile and say, well, praise God. If a tornado comes, I'm going to heaven. Amen. And we get all nervous and worried and fretting and all of that. Folks, it ought not to be. There comes a time in your walk with God where faith turns into knowledge. Amen. And then he said, add to your faith virtue. Everybody said virtue. This is the growing process. Virtue means moral goodness. The practice of moral duties and the abstaining from vice or conformity of life and conversation to the moral law. Amen. Strength, that substance of quality of physical bodies by which they act and produce effects on other bodies. That's what that means. Amen. Like the gravitational force of the earth affects the moon and the moon affects the earth. It causes the seas to rise and to go up and to go down. There is a movement, amen, that affects other things by your virtue, by your moral goodness. Amen. You might be known as a liar, but now all of a sudden you're telling the truth. What's happened to your life? Praise God. At one time in your life, you may have dressed immodestly and ungodly, but now you're dressing modestly and godly. You say, is that in the Word of God? Yes, it's in the Word of God, but I don't have time tonight for that. Amen. But that is virtue, moral goodness, and the practice of moral duties, and the abstaining from vice. Those are things that will bring you into bondage. Amen. If you're bound by certain things and you can't, you know, you're addicted to that and you know it's not good for you and you know it's not, and it's not right. Amen. Virtue. When you leave your faith in God, you go to the next level of virtue. Amen. I'm going to start to be a moral person. Praise God. And so we grow into virtue. Amen. And we become somebody that has morals. And if we fail in that, we go back and make it right. And we move on from there. Knowledge. From virtue, we go to knowledge. And knowledge is knowing and understanding. Amen. We understand through the Word of God. And we understand that this is the message of salvation found in the Word of God. Amen. We understand why we live the way we live. Because we have knowledge. Amen. We come with faith. It's a simple childlike faith. We hear the message of holiness and we adhere to that because we want to conform and we want to be a part of the church. That's good. But I'm telling you, there's got to come a time when you develop into knowledge. And you know why you believe what you believe. And you know why there's only one God and where it's found in the Word of God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You grow into knowledge, and this is a very powerful thing. Because when you grow into knowledge, when you get into the realm of knowledge, knowledge is not the realm of emotion. It's the realm of knowledge. It is known, established facts. It is known and established principles. Amen. They are not based on emotion. If I have a flat tire today, 1 + 1 = 2. If my house burns down, 2 + 2 = 4. And it's not emotional at all. It doesn't have any emotion to it. Amen. Except when you get the knowledge of God, it'll bring joy into your life. Amen, because it is a newfound truth that you can't find in the world. Amen. All those folks, that all they know is 1 + 1s and all of that mathematical stuff. We've got some mathematicians here tonight that are pretty good. Amen. But I'm telling you, there is a knowledge in the Word of God that supersedes the knowledge of this world. We can understand physics and we can understand the way things work in the universe, but it's not going to bring you joy. The only thing that'll bring you joy is the knowledge of God. I know Him and He knows me. Praise God. If God be for me, who is against me? Amen. When things are going wrong, God is for me. Amen. It's not an emotional thing except for the joy. Praise God. I know He's going to be there because I have knowledge now. Well, praise the Lord. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. That's what God said. Amen. We can't be strong and believe any old thing. Come on, somebody. We got to be strong in the faith and take a stand for God in this ungodly world. Amen. I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Praise God. There's got to be some knowledge in our walk with God. And then He said, add to your knowledge temperance. Everybody said temperance. That word temperance simply means self-control. Amen. With knowledge comes a settling of the spirit. Amen. We're just not that easily disturbed by everything that comes along. Amen. Because we understand that God is adding to us. We are becoming a tree that someday is going to have fruit on it. Amen. And we don't lose it every time something happens in this life. There are tragedies and there are situations. Amen. There are stresses. Paul had stresses in his life. But I'm talking about the end result. I'm talking about where you are 6 months from now. Amen. 6 months from your tragedy. Do you come back to center again and say, my God is able to help me? Can we come back to the place? Oh, praise God. I feel a preaching spirit here tonight. Amen. We're going to come back to where Job was. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him, and I will yet maintain my ways before Him. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. Well, praise God. You know why? Because I have added to my faith virtue. And I have added to my virtue knowledge. And now the knowledge has given me a settled spirit, and I'm going to be temperate. The Bible says to be temperate in all things. Self-control. Self-control. Amen. Just plain old self-control. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery. How many wants to be the best you can be for God? That's striving for the mastery. That means striving to be the best that you can be. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Amen. If you're going to run a marathon, you can't be going to McDonald's every day. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You got to work out. You can't sleep in. Praise God. How many's going to get started this week? Garrett, are you going to be a muscle builder? No. No desire. He doesn't want to have the mastery over this. No, but I'm telling you what, we need to have a mastery over our walk with God. Because, folks, we're headed to eternity. We are headed to an incorruptible crown. This is a high calling. This is a high calling. This isn't just something that's taken place in a few places in our world. This is a high calling. And in order to reach to that high calling, amen, we must be temperate in all things. Have self-control in our lives. Amen. That means that we've got to, as Paul said, get underneath ourselves and say no to ourselves. Well, praise the Lord. That's what it means to be temperate. I know this isn't very popular right about now. Amen. It's great to talk about faith, but temperance is a different situation. Amen. And when it comes down to it, we're striving to be temperate. Temperate in our finances. Temperate in reading the Word of God. Temperate in our prayers. Amen. And in our personal life. Well, somebody said, praise the Lord. And add to temperance, patience. Patience. And the definition of patience. Do we all have a little bit of time here? I'm going to finish shortly, but I hope you'll stay with me here tonight. Patience here, the definition means the suffering of afflictions, pain, toil, calamity, provocation, or other evil, with a calm, unruffled temper. Endurance without murmuring or fretfulness. Patience may spring from constitutional fortitude. Now, that's a big word right there. This is Webster's, so that's a Webster definition there. And go learn what that means. It is a patience may spring from constitutional fortitude. That means you've got a backbone like a saw log. And you're just going to stand. And you're not going to give in to the pressure. From constitutional fortitude, from a kind of heroic pride, or from Christian submission to the divine will. Can I keep on reading? A calm temper which bears evils without murmuring or discontent. And number three, the act or quality of waiting long for justice or expected good without discontentment. Y'all are looking at me like you really got that. It went way down deep, I can tell. Do you have constitutional fortitude tonight, Fred? He's trying. Whatever that is. Patience. It just simply means be patient. That's what that all meant, was just be patient. Praise God. And if it doesn't happen today, oh, you know what? Children are so impatient. I want that cookie. I want it right now. No, you got to wait. I want it now. No, you've got to wait. Ah! And they throw themselves on the floor and kick their little legs, and they go wild, and they go crazy, and they act. Oh, my. I took little Brendan. He was hitting me with his tie. I said, I'm going to take that tie, and it's going to be mine. He kept hitting me, and I grabbed it and pinned it on my shirt, and I said, now, that's a nice tie. I like that tie. Oh, he laid down and started crying and fussing. It was all a big show. Not a tear was coming out of his eye. He wanted what he wanted, and he wanted it right now. Praise God. Causes you a lot of troubles, and it causes you a lot of emotional stress. I want it right now. Amen. Nathan wants to graduate right now. Amen. Tessa wants to graduate right now. Let's just get this done and get moving on with life. Well, look around at all the rest of us that moved on in life, and you might have second thoughts. Take it easy. Amen. As the old song says, don't worry, be happy. Amen. Just be happy and be patient. Amen. And wait on God. And if it doesn't come, it probably wasn't meant to be. But when it does come and you've been patient, and you've been waiting on God, you know, patience is something that maturity produces. That's what maturity produces. And add to your patience godliness. And that word godliness there, listen to this. And I know you love all these definitions. A religious life a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of religious duties, proceeding from love and reverence for the divine character and commands, Christian obedience. Godliness. Godliness. You know what that simply means is that when we have Sunday morning, Sunday night service, and Wednesday night service, that we're going to be there. That means that when Scripture talks about the tithe and the offering, that we give of the tithe and the offering faithfully. It's a religious. It is our godliness. It is our attempt and our desire to be faithful in the things that God has commanded us to be faithful in. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of those areas. I'm not going to go into them here tonight. But there are areas. You say, well, it's just a rule. You know what? Sometimes we just have to have rules. Because if mom and dad said, you know, whichever one of you feels like it, you can take the trash out. I wonder how big that trash pile would build up in the kitchen. It would be huge. It would be huge. And so mom and dad has to say, all right, we've got a new rule. This week, it's Garrett's turn to take. I don't know why I'm picking on Garrett tonight. This is Garrett's week to take the trash out. You know what? You're the male in the family here. You get to take the trash out all the time. Oh, these rules. I got all these rules and stuff. And sir, you're the oldest of the family. You get to take the trash out. And if you don't, you're in big trouble. It's a rule, this house. You're going to follow the rules of this house. Rules, 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 rules. And when I turn 18, I'm getting out of this house of rules. And I'm going to be out on my own, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And then you find yourself a place, and they say, well, you can have this place, but you got to sign a lease. You mean rules? Yeah, it's a fancy way of saying rules. And you go to get a job so that you can be free, and the boss says, here's the rules of this workplace. Rules? Yeah, rules. And then you go to buy a car, and the bank says, we've got 15 pages of papers that you've got to sign here. And these are all the rules for borrowing money. Rules? You know what? I don't like all these rules. I'm going to go join the army. And you get there and they say, stand up straight. Rules, rules. You know what? For mature people, rules aren't that big of a deal. But for immature people, rules are a big deal. Praise God. I don't understand, but you don't have to understand. Just do it. Because there's some of us that do understand. And we know why the rules are there. We know why they have been established. We've already been down this road. We're not going to rewrite it. We're not going to remake the wheel for you. Just do it. Godliness. You didn't know that's what that was, did you? I'm finishing here tonight. And then from godliness to brotherly kindness. Praise God. Brotherly kindness. And that, here's the definition, praise God. Fraternal affection, brotherly love or kindness, or love of the brethren. Amen. And that would be of the sisterins as well. Considering yourself, the Bible says, is less than others. Amen. Do we love one another? Do we really care? The Bible says when one member hurts, all of the members hurt. Oh, well, you know what? That's their deal. That's not my deal. Am I my brother's keeper? You know what? You've got a body that you're living in today, and there's many members of your body. I dare you. I double dog. No, better not. Just go home tonight and cut your little toe off. and see what a big deal it is when one little member hurts. Because pain's going to shoot up your leg. I'm picking on Fred tonight. He don't feel too good. Don't do it, all right? Just don't do it. But the pain will shoot up your leg. You won't sleep. Your whole foot will be pounding. You won't be able to walk. You can't run. You can't stand on that foot. I'm telling you what, you'll be a cripple for a good long while. Amen. Just one little toe. Just go ahead and keep your toe and just pull the little toenail out. Leave the toe there. Just get rid of the toenail. You know, it's in the way anyway. You got to clip it off every now and then. It's just a big deal. Just pull it out. Get rid of it. That'll take care of it. You know what? We got a little bit of a problem, you know, in the church. Let's just kick them out. That's not what the Lord said. He said, don't pull up the tares. You're going to pull up some wheat with it. Let them grow together. I'll sort it out in the end. Praise God. Hey, if you want to try something that really won't hurt you, just pull a nose hair out. Folks will think you're weeping under the Holy Ghost. Woo! You ever done that? Give it a try and you'll know. Help us, Jesus. God, help us tonight. And from brotherly kindness to charity, and that means affection. In other words, developing the attitude of love for all people as much as possible. And the Bible says, as much as lieth in you. And some folks, it's hard to love some folks, isn't it? But thank God we've got a God that loves everybody. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight. And what are you preaching, Pastor? I'm preaching growing in the divine nature of God. Thank God for the start. Some, you know, we celebrate birthdays, don't we? We celebrate birthdays. That's a big deal. We have a big party. Give gifts, money, go places, do things. What's all this about? Oh, it's a birthday party. We're having a birthday party. We're having a birthday barbecue. But you know what? Your birthday isn't really that big of a deal. Because you haven't done anything with your life yet. You haven't established anything. You just got started. You're here. And you demand and demand and demand and demand and demand. Get sick real easy. Cry all the time. Somebody said, oh, I slept like a baby. I slept for an hour and woke up crying. Slept for an hour and woke up crying. Amen. That's why young people have babies, because they can handle it. They've got the strength. But the day of birth isn't really that big of a deal. Some folks say, oh, you know, heaven rejoices when one sinner repents. And I'm telling you, heaven rejoices, and the church should rejoice. But you know what, friend? That's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. That's the first sentence of the book. And they were born on June the 9th, 1955, period. And the book's about that thick. And it hasn't been written yet. And that's the first line. That's what your birthday is. But somewhere down the road, you're going to run into a giant. Somewhere down the road, you're going to run into someone that wants to kill you. Talking about David now. You're going to run into this situation, that situation, and before you know it, they're going to have to add pages to the book. And it's going to end up being about that thick. And all we celebrate is that first sentence, and they were born on such and such a date. But you know what? It's not the will of God for that to be the story of our life. God did not put me here just to breathe his air. But it says, let everything that has breath Do something with it. Do something positive with it. Praise the Lord with it. God gave us hands. Why? Because He wants us to do something with our hands. God gave us feet. Why? Because He wants us to do something with our feet. He didn't make us and put us here just to sit at a table and feed ourselves and eventually get to where others just feed us and we're like a bird in a nest. And then if it doesn't taste good, you know what? God put us here for something, folks. I'm being a little bit silly tonight, but I'm wont to do that every now and then. God made us to do some things with our life. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, all the way to the very last breath. And that's why the Bible says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Because the book's written now. And it's all been done. And we've fought our fights. We've won and lost some battles. And we've gone through situations. Oh, yes. Amen. But we just kept on going and growing. Going and growing. And maybe that ought to be somebody's theme of life. I'm going and growing. I'm moving on with Jesus. I'm not where I should be, but bless your heart, I'm not where I used to be. And I'm reaching, and I'm striving, and I'm moving forward. Lord, we thank You tonight. Thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for that day that we were born again into the kingdom of God. And we were planted. We were planted in baptism. Oh, God, help us. We were planted in baptism, and the seed began to grow, and we're here tonight, wherever it is that we are in our walk with You. Help us as a church. Help us as a church. Help us to find our spot in that progressive growth of the divine nature and continue on and move forward higher, stronger, with more knowledge, with more understanding of the will of God all the way to the end. In Jesus' name.